The Shepherd Study, helping pastors to discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week we look at The Commentator's Bible, Leviticus, the JPS Mikra Ot Gedolot, Leviticus, edited, translated, and annotated by Michael Karasik. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Suksame Fetsenhoney. Michael Karasik teaches Biblical Hebrew at the University of Pennsylvania and the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College. He is also the weekday Torah reader at Historic Congregation Kesher Israel in Center City, Philadelphia. He received his PhD in Bible and the Ancient Near East from Brandeis University. He is the author of Theologies of the Mind in Biblical Israel. In addition to this volume, he is also the translator of the Commentator's Bible on Numbers and Exodus. Another commentary? That is perhaps a person's reaction to this review. However, this book is unique when it comes to commentaries, at least most English commentaries. This is not just one commentator's thoughts on Leviticus, but actually several commentators. In addition, if one considers that the commentators often quote the Talmud, this is actually many commentators' thoughts on Leviticus. For this commentary is a Mikra Ot Gedolot, large format Bible. On each page there is the Hebrew text, two English translations, Abarbanel's questions, comments from Rashi, Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, and Nemenides, and selections from the Masorah and a few other commentators. Since this commentary has the standard pattern for any commentary, text, and comments, it may be more prudent to give a short biography and then samples from the four major commentators. First, Rashi, the standard medieval commentator on the Bible and Talmud. His comments combine the straightforward, literal sense of a passage and the sage's midrashic comments as he saw fit. Quote, I am the Lord your God. Know who is issuing these decrees against you, one who can judge and punish, and also one who can be relied on to give the proper reward. The word Elohim, God, can also mean judges. Lord, a euphemism for God's personal name, is understood to refer to his kindly aspect. End quote. Quote, five times Jacob is spelled Yaakov, with an extra vav, indicating the O sound, instead of the usual Yaakov, where the O is simply indicated with a dot in the normal way. Now Elijah's name in Hebrew is Elihu. Jacob took the Vav from Elijah as a guarantee that he would come and announce the good news that Jacob's descendants would be redeemed. End quote. Quote, instructions, literally the Torahs, the written Torah, and the oral Torah. The plural here tells us that both of them were given to Moses at Sinai. End quote. Second, Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, favored the straightforward sense even when it contradicted the sage's midrashic comments. Quote, anyone who eats of its carcass. The sages interpret the mention of eating here to indicate that anyone who carries or touches an edible-sized portion of the carcass, that is, an olive's worth, would acquire impurity. But the straightforward sense of the verse is that one who eats such flesh is impure, whether or not he has touched it with his hands. End quote. Quote, the straightforward sense is the one that fits the context. End quote. Third, Ibn Ezra, Rashbam's contemporary. For Ibn Ezra, his comments must agree with the grammar of the text and his reason. Quote, a person, literally a soul, the word is appropriate, for the meal offering is not required but given willingly, and the soul, too, is referred to as willing. See Psalm 51, verse 14. Let a willing spirit uphold me. End quote. Quote, at this point in the argument, the eyes of my Sadducean friend were opened, and he blurted out an oath that he would never again trust his own judgment in interpreting the commandments. but would rely on the interpretations that have come down to us in Jewish tradition." End quote. Quote, "The thumb and big toe are the keystones of the hand and the foot, representing the essence of action. The ear is a reminder to hear that which he has commanded. The right side is used because that is the dominant side." End quote. Quote, "As a general rule, we should not simply take what the text says at face value." End quote. Fourth, Nahmanides, the last of the four commentators and also a Kabbalist. His comments reflect Kabbalism, especially when he talks about the true interpretation, or according to the way of truth. Quote, "The term sin, on the other hand, etymologically implies missing the mark, straying from the path." End quote. Quote, "Love your fellow as yourself. This is hyperbole. One cannot literally be commanded to feel the same love for someone else as one does for oneself. The Torah is commanding that, in practical terms, one should treat the other person in every respect just as one would wish to be treated." End quote. Quote, "See Rashi's comments. You must understand that with his tremendous expertise in Talmud, which is all laid out before him like a set table, Rashi simply stated this conclusion without realizing that it might mislead lesser mortals." End quote. There are similar curious comments on the Urim and the Thummim, the clean and unclean animals, Christians, pregnancy, Azazel, Molech and its worship, the Babylonian exile, and the Messiah. Reading this book is like sitting at a debate. One commentator has his say, then another, etc. They may address what the previous said, or they may move to a different subject. Like in any debate, some comments Lutherans can agree on, for example, Nahmanides on sin above. Some are not accurate, numerology. Some not particularly helpful, views on baldness. And some a Lutheran could not accept, views on rabbinic tradition, seem similar to the Roman Catholic Church and tradition, i.e. tradition is equal, if not above scripture. The above quotes show these different possibilities as well, maybe even in the same quotation. However, this commentary is still useful, if only for this one reason. It gives a glimpse into the Old Testament that is different from our norm. This commentary opens up millennia of research, thought, and study on Leviticus. It not only gets the reader into the fascinating world of medieval Jewish scholarship, but also further back into the Talmudic era and beyond. A journey with a few caveats, but a worthy journey indeed. To assist a reader of this commentary who is unfamiliar with the referenced people and items, a list of important terms is also provided.